In August of 2011, last night of vacation Bible school, I took a nasty fall that night. And when I hit the ground, I kind of went, "Oh, that hurt." And I didn't really think much about it. I didn't think it hurt, but it didn't hurt too much until I got up and tried to take my first step and went straight down to the ground again. And so, one metal plate and four screws later down my left leg, along with 23 staples and 8 weeks of physical therapy and rehab, I was, as they say, good as new. Toward the end of my recovery process and the end of my physical therapy, my doctor, along with my therapist, my physical therapist, both told me that I would probably have to give up running. Darn. Not that I was a huge runner, but at the time I was running about 3 miles, about 3 days a week at the gym, and so they said, "You probably won't be running now, and now if you were to see me run, you would have a good laugh, because I run with a big limp with my left leg, just due to all the hardware and everything." And like many of you probably, as I read this passage of Scripture, I can't help but think to myself that I am so glad, I am so very glad that the Christian life is not a physical journey, although our physical bodies are affected in it. But aren't you so glad that this race we run is not a physical journey, but it is a spiritual one? Because many of our knees and our hands gave out a long time ago, right? Amen. We are on a journey. We are on a race, the writer of Hebrews has been telling us. And what I want you to know, I just want to leave you with two important messages to hang on to this morning. And the first is, don't give up. If you go all the way back to the beginning of chapter 12, the writer tells us, this pastor preaching to his own church, his own congregation, says that we are to run this race. And as we talked about, it is not a sprint. It is not a 50-yard dash. It is a marathon. It is beyond a marathon. And when we are running the race of faith, we are so often tempted to give up along the way. But praise God, it is not a physical race. It is a spiritual race. And sometimes that is even harder to run than the physical race. It's not a flesh and blood race. It is a spiritual race. And if you remember from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul tells us, "Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all run, but only one receives the prize? So run in such a way to win the prize. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. No, they do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly, or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control, so that after preaching to others, I myself may not be disqualified." The writer of Hebrews, along with the Apostle Paul, reminds us that we are in a race, and we are not racing against anyone else but ourselves, and sometimes we are our own worst opponent. We allow Satan to get into our mind and Satan to get into our life, and we listen to the lies that he tells us, or that he tries to. You know, the Bible says that that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And so he is accusing us, and he is trying to remind us and trying to remind the Lord of all the dumb and stupid and sinful things that we do, and we are our own worst opponent. But the Apostle Paul tells us there in 1 Corinthians, and the writer here tells us, don't give up. He says they are running to win a perishable prize. You know, I am so glad that we are going to the World Series. But we as believers have something so much more valuable than a pennant. We have eternity. And we are running towards that. But he does tell us that we are in a stadium of faith and the bleachers are full, sort of like it was at Minute Maid Park last night, right? And it will be this week on the watch parties. The stadium is full and the stakes are high. And while we are in a race, it is not against anyone else but ourselves. And he says, don't look to the left and don't look to the right. Stay focused. Don't look ahead and don't look behind. Instead, look up, look up, look up. Because our focus is to be on Jesus. And on look up to Jesus who will give you what you need to finish the race. But we are not finished yet. So don't give up. Keep running. Stay focused. And he says here, therefore, strengthen your tired hands and weakened knees, and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated but healed instead. You know, sometimes it's hard to hang on, isn't it? He says, strengthen those tired hands. You know what we carry in our hands as runners in the race of faith? We carry a baton. We carry a baton that we pass on to someone else because our faith has been passed on to us. And so we pass on to other people. We carry the baton of faith, and we have received, as it were, but the baton of faith by those in chapter 11 who stand in the bleachers cheering us on. The race is long and the race is hard and there are hurdles and we are not done yet. We are still running. And as you run, hold on to the baton of faith, because sometimes we lose our grip, don't we? And if you know anything about racing, if you know anything about relay races, the most critical moment is the passing of the baton. Hold on tight. Many of you may not realize it, but this month, October, 65 years ago, October 1954, Northside Baptist Church was established. And so for 65, and we've not made a big to-do about it this year. We did our 60th, and we'll do something on 70th. But you know, for 65 years, we have been here. And for 65 years, we have people in this church, people have come and gone, and we have run the race. And I, as I look back, and as I look forward, I am so thankful for those who came before me, who remained faithful. I'm thankful for so many of you who have remained faithful through all those years, who came before us in faith and held on when things got tough, both as a church and as an individual. The race is long, the race is hard, and we are not there yet, and so we need to keep running, and we need to be faithful. I'm reminded of that beautiful song of several years ago that Steve Green came out with, "Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way, and may the footprints that we leave lead them." Our young people, may are the footprints that we leave lead them to believe and live lives and inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful to run the race. And you know, our hands oftentimes grow tired and our knees grow weak, don't they? Sometimes the knees ache, but the weakened knees it's okay to have weak knees if they're weak because of prayer. If they're weak because we've run. But the weakened knees that the Bible is talking about here, the weakened knees that this pastor is encouraging his congregation to strengthen, the weakened knees he speaks about here is not so much due to the loss of strength, but rather the presence of fear. You get the picture? We shake. We quake. Fear stops us. Fear slows us down. Fear entangles us along the way. And sometimes we buckle under the presence of fear. Fear has a way of slowing us down and sidetracking us, and sometimes fear has a way of stopping us dead in our tracks. But remember what the Apostle Paul said, that God has not given us, as he wrote to Timothy, that young pastor, pastoring his first church probably, when he said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power and love and judgment." Don't fear what is out there. Don't fear the lies that Satan is reminding you of. Don't fear the past that Satan is reminding you of. We all have one. And it is exactly that. It is in the past. The only way your past can hold you down now is if you allow it to. Is if you believe the lies of Satan that you're not good enough. That you're not as good as the next person. But see, your race is not against the next person. Your race is with yourself. And the prize is set out before us. And so as we run, we must stay focused on Jesus. Be watchful for the fearful hurdles and potholes that seek to slow us down and possibly stop us from running. And as you grow tired, as your hands are tired, and as your knees are weakened, wait on the Lord. I love that verse, and you know it. Youth may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who trust or those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and do not faint. Doesn't that sound good? Trust in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You know, no one said we had to run across the finish line. We've all seen those pictures and those video clips on the news of the marathons of those that just barely make it across the finish line. Sometimes being carried by other people, have to carry one another. The Bible does not say that we have to run across the finish line. The Bible says don't give up. Don't quit. Just keep going. It doesn't matter whether you run or sprint or skip or crawl across the finish line. Don't give up when the hands are tired and the knees are weak. And so he encourages first to don't give up. But the second thing he encourages us to do is to run a clean race. What do you mean, run a clean race? You know, I don't have to tell you, but it's no secret that the athletic world today, like so many other areas, the athletic world today is filled with steroid juicing and personal pettiness and team rivalry that goes beyond bad sportsmanship. Just a couple of weeks ago, there were two college teams that played, and they were all given bad sportsman conduct before they even entered onto the field. Between Oklahoma and A&M. That's terrible. And we saw just this last week, fans are just as bad sometimes. Thank you for Houston for being a class city, right? At least as far as I know. It's just Paul, the apostle here tells us to run a clean race. This pastor encourages his flock to be different, to run a different race, to run a clean race. Notice what he says. Man, this just gets all over me. He says, "Pursue peace with everyone and holiness." Pursue peace with everyone. I want to camp out here for just a couple of moments. Pursue peace with everyone. That tells us a couple of very important things as runners in this race of faith. To pursue peace means to chase after it. Peace doesn't just happen. We have to make it happen. So on the one hand, he says to pursue or to chase after it. In other words, we are to try and make peace. Peace with people does not just happen. But it also he also says something else. Peace with people doesn't always happen. He says pursue peace. He doesn't say achieve peace with everyone. That's a world of difference. Pursue peace. He doesn't say achieve peace with everyone, but he does say try your best, but sometimes it does not happen. And Paul reminds us elsewhere in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, he says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Did you know that you can live at peace with someone who is not at peace with you? You know that that's possible? Many of you are testimony to that. It is possible to live at peace with others when they are not at peace with you. But he tells us to try it, but it may not always happen. In other words, you do your part, but sometimes there comes a time when we must shake the dust off our feet and we have to move on down the road. We have to move on down the road. But remember, don't lose this, okay? Don't lose this. Remember, as you move on down the road, it means just that. Move on. Don't keep bringing it up. Don't keep wallowing in the unpeaceful situation. Give it to God and move on. Okay? Move on. Don't keep going back. And don't keep digging it up. Just let it alone. Let it lie. But he says something else about this pursuit of peace, and this is critical. Pursue peace with everyone. Everyone. Everyone? Everyone. Not everyone. It says everyone. You get the point? Pursue peace with everyone. Not just those who agree with us. Not just those that take our side. Just because I don't agree with someone does not, listen to me, because the Church of Jesus Christ is feeding into this lie. Just because I don't agree with someone does not give me the right to be mean to them. To talk badly about them. To make them my enemy. It doesn't matter if they agree with me or if they believe like me. It does not matter if they look or act like me. We are to be people of peace. The world is not to be, not to live as people of peace, but we are to live as people of peace. We are to be the peacemakers in our world, in our personal worlds, as well as in our collective world of humanity. We are to be peacemakers. And so when he says to pursue peace with everyone, that means pursue peace face to face, pursue peace on the phone, pursue peace on through email, pursue peace through text or in social media, and especially when they are not in your presence personally or physically. Pursue peace. And I don't know about you, but this is a good word for all of us today. It's a good word for me. I don't say this lightly, and I don't say it to be cliche-ish, but I am not sure if I've ever experienced more division in our culture in my lifetime than we are experiencing today in our world and in our society. That's just my personal opinion. But beloved, the church needs to rise above that. We are better than that. We have to be better than that. No matter who, no matter what the situation is, we have to be better than that. We are to be the lovers of others. It does not matter. Now, having said that, does the church need to stand against sin? Absolutely. Absolutely. But we need to do it in love, because that's how Jesus dealt with my sin. Jesus dealt with my sin in love. And Jesus dealt with your sin in love. And so we need to deal with other people's sin in love. Not in anger, not in hatred, not in pridefulness, not in holier-than-thou-ness, if that is even a word. But you know what I'm saying. We need to be better. We need to show kindness and compassion. And I know it's hard, and I know it's a fine line, but we need to set the example of accepting people no matter what. Hear me say that. We need to set the example of accepting people no matter what. We can accept a person and not accept a person's actions or sinfulness, regardless of whether the world tells you otherwise. We need to do it with each other first. And then we need to show it to the world. Because there is no place in God's family for meanness, pettiness, vindictiveness, spite, paybacks, or just simple down and out rudeness. There is no place in God's family for that. I don't care who they are or what they've done to you or to me. Not to each other, and certainly not to a watching world. Run a clean race. Because watch what happens. Watch what happens when we take that path of not pursuing peace. Look what he says. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. No root of bitterness. You see, when you stop pursuing peace and you start viewing those who don't think like you or look like you or act like you or dress like you or agree with you, and you hold on to that disagreement, that anger, that hurt, you're strangling yourself. You know, Lena's getting to where she can hold her bottle on her own, and Rosie's still a little ways away, but you know, sometimes that bottle is, you pull that bottle away too fast, and even when it's done and you take it out, that's how some of us as Christians are. We hang on to that hurt. We hang on to that offense, and we nurse on it. And you know what happens to a little baby when they nurse on an empty bottle? They get gas. And then they stink. And that's how some Christians are. They are bloated and full of stinky gas because they are sucking on that bitterness. You laugh, but you know it's true. You know it's true. And bitterness has a root that runs long and deep, and it does not just stay with you. Bitterness is the most invasive plant of all, because its roots just go out, and it will wrap itself around everyone around. That's what he says. He says, if you have a root of bitterness in you, it does not stay with you. It has runners. And it runs out, and it will wrap itself around everyone that you associate, because you're a bitter person. Because you're a mean and spiteful, vindictive person. And so these tentacles of bitterness grow out from around you. And as it spread, it strangles life, it strangles love, it strangles peace, it strangles joy, it strangles everything it can wrap itself around. Again, this is a good word for me right now. Don't get bitter. Let it go. Don't hold on to the anger. Don't hold on to the hurt. Don't hold on to whatever it is that you're facing. And you have to also know, to be aware, that bitterness is not always about people. You can be bitter over circumstances. You can be bitter over your situation. You can be bitter over events that have taken place in your life that leave us in places that we had not intended to be. They are just as easy to entangle us as bitterness is towards people. You can be bitter towards life. You can be bitter towards God. You can be bitter towards your circumstances, your situation. And you know, I can't help but feel, having read this, I can't help but feel that this pastor was referring people back to chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance of sin that so easily ensnares us." Bitterness is a sin that will so easily ensnare you and me. And we have to cut it off. We have to lay it aside. Bitterness trips us up quicker and easier than we think it can. We think we are invincible towards it. You are not invincible towards it. Neither am I. So Paul tells us to run the race. This pastor here tells his people, run the race well. Don't quit. Run a clean race, laying all anger and bitterness aside. And you know, I don't know where you are. I don't know what all you are dealing with. But I can't help but feel that what God is calling us to do today is to pursue peace with people, to resist bitterness. That's only possible through a relationship with Jesus, but a relationship with Jesus doesn't make it any easier. You know that. I know that. But it is only possible through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I guess my first my first statement to you this morning as we close is, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you don't stand a chance to overcome the bitterness, the anger, the hurt that has happened to you in your life. And it's happened to all of you. You're not alone. You're not by yourself in that. But without a relationship with Jesus, you don't stand a chance. Bitterness will wrap itself around you. But I also want to tell you this, that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it's only just a little bit easier. I'm just being honest with you from my own personal experience. You know, many of you are baking cookies this week too, which, by the way, I need them by Wednesday morning. Many of you are baking cookies so I can take to the prison. I'm not doing Kairos prison ministry this week, but I am taking cookies to drop off, because that's a big part of it. One of the things, and I've shared this before, but one of the things that we do on a Saturday night is we go through a forgiveness ceremony, and Friday morning we give all of the participants as well as the team members a piece of paper, and we call it their forgiveness slip, and we just encourage them to write the names of people that they maybe need to forgive, or maybe write the names of people that they need to ask forgiveness for. And then Saturday night, we give them to the Lord. We give them, we in one unit I was at, we take them and we nail them to a cross, and we do all sorts of things to kind of symbolize getting rid of those, that unforgiveness. And you know, I don't have forgiveness slips to give you this morning, but I'll bet you if I did, we'd all have some names that we could write down on there. Because some of us are hanging on to bitterness. We're hanging on to unforgiveness. We're hanging on to hurts. We're hanging on to vengeance. And it's tripping us up. It's tripping me up. And so maybe what you need to do this morning is, maybe if you want to be so bold as to write, you know, I didn't give you any outline on the back. Maybe if you were to be so bold, you could write a name or two down there. And if you do, I would encourage you to start with your own name. But maybe in your mind, maybe God's bringing some people to your mind that you aren't pursuing peace with. You're not at peace. And you need to be at peace with them. Don't worry about them. You need to be at peace with them. You need to let go of bitterness. Or maybe there are some situations, some circumstances in your life that you need to just mentally and spiritually, man, write those down and say, God, I am tired. I'm tired of carrying this weight. I'm tired of being tripped up by bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and unloveliness that I display. Would you give that to God this morning? Father in heaven,